Welcome to Alter Echo Families, the newest podcast of St. John's Lutheran Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. I'm Pastor Kim Kylo.
And I'm Amanda Bull, our Children, Youth, and Family Director.
And we are so privileged to get to spend time with a lot of children, youth, and families, from littles to big kids, from preschoolers to high school students, and everyone in between, and their parents. We get to hear a lot of big feelings and experiences and struggles from these kiddos and families, and we are here to offer you, hopefully, a couple bits of encouragement and some of our reflections from getting to hear your kiddos talk. So may this be a gift to you as you think about parenting and faith and all things with a fun dose of hilarity.
Absolutely.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, everyone.
It is a Thursday morning as Amanda and I are recording this together. So full disclosure, we are sleepy and tired and our brains are functioning. What percentage of functioning do you think your brain has this morning?
Oh, dear. I'm definitely dehydrated, too. So I had a full cup of coffee. So I'd say no water to chase that. So I'd say like 25%.
Oh, that's a little lower than I was expecting.
Oh, really?
That's
well, great. I mean, I could maybe go up to 70.
I mean, you did drive here, so I was maybe more than 25.
I think so. I think we're a little sharper than
sure.
We think we are.
Oh boy.
So we'll have a little bit of levity for sure in our conversation.
But we're sleepy and tired because we had such a great night with our kiddos last night and parents and families.
Yeah. Unreal.
Oh my gosh.
Such a joyful and amazing event. We had over 100 kids, middle school kids and families, and some amazing high school leaders there.
At Feed My Starving Children last night.
Yeah.
Super fun. Service Blitz project for our confirmation kiddos and families.
Mm-hmm. Check out our Facebook Live. Ooh. You'll just see Pastor Kim and I, our mouse moving, but you can't really hear apparently what we said a lot, but
we're really good at technology.
We are so great. But I hope if just by looking at it, I think you could see just the joy and the excitement and just and how diligently our kids were working at their stations and just so serious about doing a good job. And we got great reviews from the staff there that they were in fact one of the best groups that they have worked with.
Including that our children are well-behaved. So if you have children in our population, if you're wondering, apparently we produce well-behaved children.
Yes, and tidy. They can look on the floor that we did not have.
That's
the mess
right.
on the floor. They're like, that. They are really wonderful kids. And
good.
And big shout out to all the parents who came to supervise as well. They did an amazing job. So
that's right.
It really helps to have that support. So
that's
great.
Right.
Great event last night. So
yes.
fun. Weather cooperated. That
That's
always
right.
helps.
Yeah. And we learned from the Feed My Starving Children staff that this is a low volunteer time of the year for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have kids 5 and older and you are looking for a fun, meaningful service activity to do together where you do not have to facilitate the activity, you just have to get your kids there. Check it out on Feed My Starving Children's website. You can sign up to go. You can go as a family group or grab another family and go together. But as long as your kids are 5 and up, you have to have a certain adult to kid ratio, of course. But we just commend that to everybody because it's it's a good project, helps kids, especially who maybe, I think this is a fair way to say this, have pretty comfortable lives and can always count on having food on the table and they're not worried. To start to understand that that's not every child's experience and to do something positive with that information. Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I love it.
Absolutely echo that. And they have a lot of different times that are more, I know we started serving at 7, but they have some earlier times. So just check out everything that they have to offer for that. And I would definitely promote that.
For sure.
Do it.
What a healthy activity option.
Yeah.
Which is maybe our segue into our topic for today.
Yes.
Speaking of activities our kids.
Yeah. Healthy activities for kids.
Yes.
Good job.
And healthy levels or amounts or time commitments of activities for our kids based on their ages is something we're thinking about today.
Absolutely. So yes, what we're dancing around here are sports. Dun, dun, dun.
Youth sports culture
is our topic today, and I think it is a great companion to what we did last night. It's like we had a big group activity. Everyone felt like they were serving and giving, and you know, I would say that everybody walked out of there with their cups filled and felt like they gave back, and they gave and they received, right? And,
yes.
And you feel good walking out of there.
Yep.
And really, when you think of how you feel walking out of a youth sports practice,
ooh, that's
in
probably
in comparison or a game, how are, as parents, I guess, or anyone who has witnessed that, you know, how would you feel comparatively to that?
Yeah.
You know, and you should feel good after walking out of a gym or an activity.
Mm.
You know, you should feel, you should feel a little bit of the same feelings of teamwork. You should feel that, you know, if it's a healthy environment, you should feel, you know, emotionally well. And
that maybe there was some encouragement that was shared between peers and coaches and parents alike in the midst of that experience.
Yep. Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yep. And that you bettered yourself and bettered other people.
That's right.
And so I know this is kind of two extremes, but if you don't feel this way and if you feel on the very opposite of the spectrum, then this podcast is for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And maybe you are new to having your kids be in sports activities, or maybe your kids have been in sports activities already, the whole spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So my intro to this is a funny encouragement for all of you. So, this week my 5-year-old was homesick for a couple of days, and after being in at home with him, for one full day, just the two of us without having other grown-ups to talk to really, I decided to do the, easy thing and celebrate. And we went and picked up Chinese food at our local little place for supper, which is conveniently located right next to a martial arts place. And as we were parked in the car, because it wasn't time to pick up our food yet, watching hordes of these probably similarly aged kids, like 5, 6, 7-year-olds, and a parent flocking into this place, my kid, of course, said, "What's this? What are all these kids doing?" Mm-hmm. And I, you know, he read the sign. He said, "What's martial arts?" And so we talked about that. And he said, "Well, this is right by our house. I could be a part of this." And I said, "Yes, you could, but you won't be." Because he really has a different sport, particularly flag football, that he is so excited to be in. And so we talked about how we're not going to say yes to every activity. We will not be signing up for martial arts because that is not the thing that is most important to him. And we're not going to be in activities all the time. Because we have to have time for fun.
Martial arts like guru, and he could just, you know, come on, are you... You don't feel bad that you're withholding this one thing from him?
I feel 0% bad about that.
Good for you.
I am very willing to be wrong about that and be wildly disappointing as a parent for not enrolling him in this one activity. Because we still have to have room for play.
Yes.
And rest.
Yes.
And family time.
Yes.
And fun.
Yes.
And he will get to be in the one activity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably, maybe not just one, right? Mm-hmm. But one, we want to prioritize the activities that are most important to him, that he cares about the most. So he's not just overwhelmed with activities, especially sports activities, but not only sports, right? Other activities could be in this category too.
Right.
So there's my funny story.
That's good.
No, you will not be going to the class.
I'll definitely egg him on. Owen. I think you could be a great... No, I'm just
gosh.
Look at those slice and dices. I don't kick. I don't know what the lingo is for martial arts, but I'll have to get some.
I don't know either.
Well, very good.
That's right.
So, all right. So if I'm writing this down as in our little toolkit here, so balance is important.
Yeah.
And not be afraid to say no.
Mm-hmm. Making time for... Mm-hmm. Well, not only making time, but like... prioritizing the experiences, both activities, sports, but other things, including rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are important to your family. And faith.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And being able to, as Owen grows and, you know, and all of the kids grow, allowing some space for Sundays or Wednesdays. I promote that.
Well, and that's something we hear from a lot of our families, right?
Yeah.
You know, that the thing that their kid is passionate about happens to also meet at the same time as Sunday school or a Blaze or a Firm. And what do we do, right?
Yeah.
We hear this a lot from families.
Yes. that is something that a lot of our families have had to struggle and wrestle with.
Sure.
So partly why we have our Sunday school highlights on Wednesday nights, mm-hmm. and those families who it does not work out for them to be, for their kids to be here on Sundays for various reasons, are so happy to be here on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So we were happy to be able to offer that this year, and it's going very well. So
what have you been hearing lately, mm-hmm. as parents are sharing with you about the struggles of sports culture, or especially sports activities, mm-hmm. for especially our youngest kids, mm-hmm. right? High school sports is a whole different thing, but especially for our families with little kids who are maybe on the early stages of entering into sports stuff, what are you hearing? What are some of the struggles? Mm-hmm. What should we keep in our awareness?
What I'm hearing is that in January was the big kind of sign up month for everything for mm-hmm. the summer.
Good.
And so people were sharing their frustration and concern about how much is expected of kids at a very younger age, kindergarten. One of the sports was when you signed up for a kindergartner for a sport, a specific sport, two practices and a game on the weekends. Two practices during the week.
Okay.
And then a game on the weekend.
Oh my gosh.
So that's a lot.
It is a lot.
And they're asking me, so a little background. I have four kids who have all participated in a lot of sports.
For sure.
And all the way up two in college. Three of the boys are in college, but two all the way went and played college sports.
So maybe that's a good example to say we are not anti-sports.
Right. Yes.
That is not the stance that we're trying to take.
No. So I have a little perspective on some of this. Yeah. So just to say a little background, I'm not someone who, like my sweet little family members who I personally grew up in a theater and dance family.
Mm.
And so, they're always kind of on the outside. And so I grew up one way and happened to have athletic kids. So I can really kind of I can see a lot of different angles here.
Mm,
growing up in one way where sports and activities weren't so much valued.
Sure.
Or part of our life, mm-hmm. I would say. But, mm-hmm. So figuring out how to balance that. So what I'm hearing from families is that the expectations of having your child just even try that sport for the first time seems a little intense to them. And they're questioning and asking me, hey, is this normal? And I will say, from my background of raising, very competent athletes, no, not normal.
Above normal, right? This is increased above normal.
The expectations have increased, absolutely.
Mm.
And so I empathize with them that they want their child to, dip their toe in the water, maybe try all these fun things,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like the expectation and the cost then that goes with it, it seems very intense.
Yeah.
So they're trying to figure out how to balance all of this. And it'll be interesting how this generation of parents manages this, because it does feel that I've been saying since COVID, things came back with such a bang.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the cause was, but sometimes I feel like they felt like they needed to make up these kids.
Sure. Kind of doubling down.
Yeah.
Almost, rather than like just meeting the kids where they are.
Right. Just continuing on, but just adding extra because of the loss of time. And I don't agree that more isn't always better for a third grader.
Right.
And so, I've got kids who are exhausted. I think they have, and so looking ahead, so that have been going at this pace, they have physical injuries from overworking their muscles and their bones, stress fractures as they're,
their bodies are just small and they're learning.
Yeah, their bodies, but this is what is required to be in the sport that they love. So I think there are some big picture issues so what we can talk a little bit about in our podcast, not too long, but that we hear you and we can maybe offer a little encouragement on how to balance all this today. Mm,
sure. Mm-hmm. So as we think about all this, especially keeping in mind, you just said it really well, the activity that they love, right? Mm-hmm. Like this is not something that they are, how do I want to say this? They're not just doing this because their friend is doing it. They're not right. just doing another activity because they love all six sports, right? Like, this right. is maybe something that they really love and they really enjoy. And, you know, it's maybe a little bit more important to them than just another activity, mm-hmm. right? So what's a good place to start as we think about managing this, keeping it balanced, not overwhelming your kids?
I think doing research and not being afraid to go out of the normal path.
Okay.
And I think we did this.
Mm-hmm.
We resourced out other venues and other communities. You know, so that it fit more of our life balance a
For
little
sure.
bit.
For sure.
So we did do that.
Nice.
Which is okay, especially at the elementary level when we're just trying to get to the, you know, that point of passion, because we did, our kids did always try out a couple different sports, but
sure.
at this intensity and level, it's not really possible. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
you know, we were mm-hmm. able to participate in like the YMCA in Burnsville, just so that they could try out a couple things
mm-hmm.
and then a couple in the YMCA in Shakopee or, you know, like, so they were not in the community level, which was really intense at
sure.
the time commitment was a lot more than we were willing to. So
for sure.
So yeah, it's a little bit more of a drive, but in the end you're saving yourself mm-hmm. some time just to explore if
yeah.
this is the thing.
Yep.
And then when it is the sport that your child absolutely loves, then I think you need to kind of have make sure that you and your parenting partner are on the same page with how much you're really willing to give as far as time, money and resources,
good,
and emotional energy, and make sure that you're checking that every, you know, quarter or season, you know, almost like you balance your checkbook, but do kind of a sports balance. Like, are we going off the rails here? If you, I would recommend the Holderness family put out this really good little video clip about this, you know, about, you know, there is some emotional, like kind of roller coaster stuff that parents sometimes do fall into, you know, like, you know, we got to put everything into this because it seems like they've really got, you know, they're really proficient at this, and, you know, like kind of getting wrapped up in coaches saying, oh yeah, I could go to the next level. You got to maybe do this extra, you know, pitching coaches or these extra private lessons or here.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you do maybe a little audit of yourselves and you think, wow, we've really invested way too much in, and you'll know it because you just really have to look at your kids and say, they look a little wore out.
You know what we should create? For people,
sure.
We should create like a little assessment checklist about this to say like what's our emotional investment in this as parents?
Yes.
How exhausted is our child? Are they like appropriately tired or are they like overly exhausted or do they have abundance of energy and they seem ready to keep digging in? Right. We could create a little resource for parents to use and say, what are the factors we need to be looking at every time we want to reevaluate what the right next level is for us on this.
Yay. I love that.
Yay. Look at us coming up with ideas.
Yeah. Because I really have it in, I have that kind of in my, I've got it kind of in my brain that I've done many times, you know, just kind of like
Well, let's put it onto paper from your brain.
Let's put it in. It's right in here.
For sure.
It's like also like how we do our confirmation notes. Like, and I think too, the kid assessment, like, how do you feel? Like, if you feel like when you walk out of Feed My Starving Children or in any activity, your child should feel generally happy, restored, fulfilled.
Yeah.
If there are none of those feelings, if they feel on the opposite, depleted, overworked, and almost at the level of distraught, then we really need to reassess.
Especially if they're having that experience consistently, right? Like one day, okay.
Sure.
That happens. You maybe had an off day, but if this is consistently your experience as you're walking away from this, we need to listen to that.
Yeah. We sure do. You need to make those kind of assessments. I think that is the best thing. So yeah, let's have that up and
we'll make that resource for you.
We will. Cute. Yep. And good. I think if we do anything like that and able to support families through that, and then I think there's some really great ways too that you can reach out to family members and have them do a check on you too.
Yeah.
Like say, hey, to your cousin or sister, like if you do notice we are going down to a dark hole here and you feel like, you know, we're missing out on family events, Christmas, Easter, family birthdays, because we are constantly at a tournament or away and we are
running ourselves ragged,
able to be part of our broader family unit, which is such a great support and system for your children to be part of, and they are not able to do that because of sports. And now we're looking at kindergartners starting at this level. We have to really make sure that we are supportive of each other and check each other's selves out a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. That's really good. I think just even kind of... along with this, thinking about, you know, maybe families don't do this, I don't know, but as you think about, like, if you could do a little like yearly thinking about, like, big picture, right? Yearly audit, and then also kind of yearly goals for the next upcoming time. You can set for yourself, like, we are going to do X number of seasons of this, but we're not going to maybe sign up for every single one, right? Like, we want to build in breaks. You don't have to sign up for every session of something or every opportunity of being part of the same activity. You can decide how much is the right amount, or if this year it was too much, okay, maybe we pull back just a little bit without completely stopping something if you want to continue on thinking about kind of that, those increments and what seems like it's the right level for you in that way.
I mean, there is, if you don't think that is possible for your kids to have pauses in their activities, it is possible.
And it's important.
It is.
It's so important.
It is. And you need to, you know, get involved with the boards of some of these activities and the sports and communicate with the coaches. I think, you know, that is important. Don't be afraid to do that.
I also think, I mean, this is probably different based on activity to activity and community to community, but if you are in the kind of community where they also are looking for coaches, especially at this younger level, maybe you're not the most adept coach, but if you have these values of like balance and moderation and healthy practices, that could be a good reason to sign up to help be a coach for an activity too, because we need coaches and leaders to model those attitudes to help other, to be a community and have that mentality together in that way, right? So I'm a big advocate for, you know, not only going to the board level, which is really important and great, nothing wrong with that, but also like embodying these attitudes as a coach for kids so that they're not necessarily hearing from a coach right off, you know, the bat at the kindergarten level, the first grade level, the second grade level, right? Such maybe intensity. They'll get that when they're in the middle school level, which is maybe also still too early. I don't know.
Absolutely. Be part of the solution. And this is the time, parents, to jump in. And I know you're exhausted and tired, but if you think you could be a positive influence in not just your child's experience, but also others, I encourage you, because sometimes it's often those good-hearted, more cautious folks like yourselves, like our wonderful families, that might feel like, no, I'm not, you know, maybe the best fit for this or what. No, you are exactly what we need in youth sports right now.
Usually willingness and a good heart are the top two qualities.
So I would encourage you to get involved and be part of it and see, then you can see truly what type of experience your kid is having. And we will support you.
We will support you. One other piece that occurs to me as we talk about this and the fact that rest is important and not just like good, it's important and healthy.
The rhythm of renewal.
Right. This is a biblical value that we lead with as well. Right. To go back to Genesis 1 in the creation story, in all of God's creating, God rested on the seventh day. And if God needs to rest, so do you. And your kids also need to rest and to model that as a continuous part of their rhythm from early ages will teach them that when they are high schoolers or college students or adults, their worth is not defined on their ability to produce and to just never rest and work harder and harder and harder until they burn out or something else, right?
Yes.
We need to be teaching as a faith value that rest is not only good, but it's healthy and important and essential for us to be healthy, good humans. God put it into the fabric of creation for God's self too. So it's not just like, well, God doesn't need this, but we do, right? Like this isn't a, like a patronizing thing.
Right.
To me, it's very much a, okay, this is inherent in being a healthy being, right?
It is.
So we need to do it.
Yes. I think. Yes. Restorative. Absolutely. And also, so Jesus modeled this too when he preached and then and talked with a big crowd, right? He was with all these people and did all the stuff. And then he would often go away.
Go away.
Go
to
on the boat.
Go to a deserted place to pray.
Sure.
Jesus got away from the crowd and by himself got in the boat.
Yeah. Over and over and again.
Yeah.
And it, so it is, yeah, absolutely a biblical value, but we have to empower our children to have those moments of rest and what that looks like. That does not look like being on your phone, obviously, and resting and being in a dark room.
Right.
But what does rest look for you? And parents, you may need to be modeling this for your children.
That's right. That's right.
And what that looks like.
That's right.
And I know my kids get to see me do that.
That's right.
They know exactly what that looks like when I'm resting restoratively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also an identity piece too, right? I always talk about podcasts. I was listening to a podcast hosted by Sean Johnson, who the parents might remember is an Olympian gymnast, and her husband, Andrew East, who was in the NFL for a short time.
Yeah.
They were talking about how retiring from their professional sport was like an identity crisis because they had been so heavily invested, particularly in their sport. And this could happen in an arts thing too, right?
Absolutely.
As a musician, as a theater person, as an actor, whatever, right? Yep. This could be the same in that. So it's not, again, anti-sports. It's just, if you're so heavily invested in any activity, when the time naturally comes that that activity is over, it can be sort of an identity crisis. Yes. If you have it also built in healthy amounts of rest, play, connection, time with others, other pieces like that, that are so essential to the like well-roundingness of being having an identity other than your activity.
Yes. And I think, 100%. Don't parallel the identity of the sport or activity with the identity of the child.
Yeah.
It needs to be separate. That is tricky.
Yeah.
And you can go down that dark hole. But we, you know, tried. We, since we had the four children, all relatively close in age, we physically couldn't manage them to be in a sport every, like it seemed in nowadays, it's like you've got kind of three seasons of sports. So they would be on for two and off for one. And during that one, we would encourage something else non-sports. Pick up, learn how to play guitar, work on a farm, build something in the backyard.
Sure.
Build, take on a project, make a dog, build a dog house. These are all things that my kids did. They, one built a chicken coop. That was quite a story. all these things that were very non-sports related, but a growing, teaching a growing skill.
Sure.
And that was hard to do, but so they look back on those kind of that quarter or that kind of 2 or 3 months of where they weren't involved in an activity as they really have great memories. And now that they are in that process of coming out of one of D1 football, one of also college football too, they have other skills to fall back on.
Yeah.
Because those sports will not really, many of them are not lifelong sports.
No.
And they have to have an identity separate from that.
That's right.
So it important and it is difficult, but it is possible.
It is totally possible.
So they have, there you go.
there we go.
I think I'm really excited to make our little chart and graph about a little checklist.
Yep.
But then I think I'm also going to put like, how are we doing with rest?
Yeah.
A similar one.
Yes.
And what is a restful activity and how is that being promoted and complemented? You know, often for kids, it's it's drawing mm-hmm. or something in the arts. You know, it really needs to be something. Mm-hmm. And then it also not, you know, you're not taking piano lessons, but you're just maybe dabbling.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
totally
music or
totally.
You know what?
What is that?
I had a really wonderful tip from a parent I'd like to share.
Please do.
Oh,
we're
so
eager.
So, you know, the TikTok is pretty popular with our middle school gals.
The TikTok, yes.
And so instead of TikTok, parent took away the TikTok.
Ooh.
And bought them for, you know, not very much, an app that they could, a movie making app. So they are, because the child really, or the, you know, student, sweet child, really loved the TikTok with the making, the, you know, that's essentially what mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
So they said, that's great. And I love that this is, you know, something you like to do, but I'm not feeling very comfortable with this in our home.
Yeah.
So they are doing these little movies and they have developed quite a skill for doing it.
That's exciting.
And they're
exciting.
Really neat.
Yes.
So there you go.
So kind of redirecting some mm-hmm. an interest, a passion, a hobby mm-hmm. into a like a social media free mm-hmm. environment.
Yeah.
Something that still uses what kind of their interest, but puts up maybe a good boundary around it.
100%.
Cool.
And using a lot of creative, mm-hmm. Even more so than TikTok, because you have a lot more control.
For sure.
And so just something that, you know, is a kind of a restorative piece.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of get excited to have that opportunity each day to work on whatever project they're working on and kind of refining those skills.
Cool.
So I thought that was a great little tip.
That's a great little tip. As you were talking about adding rest to mm-hmm. our self-assessment mm-hmm. worksheet,
mm-hmm.
it made me think about how, especially as we've been talking about kindergartners in sports today,
mm-hmm.
kindergarten, mm-hmm. preschool, maybe not quite preschool, older preschool, kindergarten, first graders, that's probably a great opportunity where they're gaining some of the like self-assessment, like self-reflective abilities to say, like you could have a conversation with them about like,
mm-hmm.
if you're worn out after school, like what helps you feel more yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, or what helps you like kind of unwind from a busy day, right? You can mm-hmm. start to have a conversation about them with what rest is and what activities are restorative to them. They're not going to know what restorative means exactly,
right,
but
you
can frame that as a parent in a way that they will be able to engage and say, I really love just coloring, right? Or whatever it's going to be.
Yep.
I want to go in my room and just play with some toys for 15 minutes.
Yep.
Whatever those restful things are, like identify what that is so that if you're not, if you as a parent are astutely observing that your kid is maybe
mm-hmm.
a little worn out or just,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of
mm-hmm.
wiped low after an activity or something, you can
mm-hmm.
say, gosh, you have these activities that you say that help you feel restful. Which one sounds good right now? And really model that invitation for them, because sometimes they don't necessarily think to go there yet. So helping them develop that practice, I think, is a really good place to start to build that skill.
Yes, absolutely. And I think having those conversations are so great. And if your child is more of a visual learner, you know, the kind of the idea of cup, you know, filling your cup, filling not your cup, you could literally fill a cup up with rocks or Legos and say, you know, today model that like, my cup was really filled when you, I'm going to put more Legos in the cup when you said,
mm-hmm.
oh, mommy, thank you for making my lunch or,
mm-hmm.
or, oh, and so I got a chance to play with my friend and all that. So I'm going to put those Legos in. But then when I was at practice and coaches were really yelling at me, and so then you can take some Legos out and saying that really
mm-hmm.
kind of took things out of my cup, you know,
mm-hmm.
my energy cup or
mm-hmm.
my feelings cup. And so that could be a way in that those very early grades to kind of start to understand how that works and how you can fill your cup back up and how what things kind of take away from that cup.
Mm-hmm.
There
really
you go.
Good ways to start modeling some self-awareness and introspection skills.
Yep. Into conversations. There you go.
There you go.
If you wanted to hear your thoughts, you didn't know what you were expecting when you got onto this podcast today. We started with Feed My Starving Children.
Activities.
Jumped right into activities, sports, cups being filled and not filled, and restorative care.
Yes.
Great.
We're big fans of rest, and we're big fans of all the good things that you know, sports and activities produce, like teamwork and a sense of positive self and the ability to be disciplined, right? Like, there's lots of good things that come out of these activities. Oh. And rest.
Yes.
Always the rest.
Always the rest. And I do really, too, yes, I promote being involved in activities and sports very much. It was wonderful for our family.
Yeah.
And but it's great to figure out how to balance that with constant, you know, increased demands.
That's right.
So
that's right.
You can do it.
You can do
you
it.
You can do all the things. You maybe shouldn't do all the things.
That's right.
Yes.
And and if we're going to talk about all the things, then rest is one of the things that you can do.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect. Here we go.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Yeah. We'll come back to you next time with another interesting, hopefully helpful, maybe hilarious conversation.
Maybe. Always a little tired too on a Thursday. Oh, so you get us at this kind of funny level.
Oh, so good. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you soon.